Probably my favorite lyric in the last year of a song is "When I wake up in the land of glory, with the saints, I'll tell my story." There will be one name that I proclaim. I don't know about you. I would say this as a church, we are a body. We are a body that loves. We are a body that feels. We are invested in each other's lives. A body of Christ is so utterly different than the normal mechanisms in the world in such a way that you're at work and you're there. It's a transactional. When it comes to the body of Christ, it's not transactional, but it is, but it isn't. It's this body we feel, we love. And I love this because it talks about my story. And I know a lot of you have gone through a lot of things, and your story is unique, and it's your story, and it's your walk with God that God has got you through, or God has been with you through. And I encourage you, as you think through eternity, as you think through where we're going, you have a story to tell. Amen? And sometimes when we focus on evangelism, we think evangelism is all about how do you persuade someone to believe in Jesus. You don't need to persuade people. You need to be Christ in your life and what he's done for you. You need a testimony. That is the greatest thing that helps people awaken to who God is. It's your story, your experience. Amen? Now, I can preach all day long, but I have my own story. And my story is not just me preaching at you. My story is God did a work in my life. Amen? And that's what I proclaim, not just the gospel, but what he's done in my life. Amen? And we all get an opportunity to share that story. Today, we are entering in again to the book of Proverbs. I would say this to you. This is one of those hard sermons, but it doesn't appear to be hard. It appears not to be hard, but the whole book of Proverbs is hard. It's hard because what the book of Proverbs says is this is how we should be. This is who we can be. So every time I'm preaching, it's not a bunch of hope and we're talking about heaven. We're talking about wise things and how we should be. So there's change that is needed for us to be who God wants us to be. Amen? So that's why this is not an easy sermon series. We're going to talk about friendship and what friendship means. And for many of us in this room, at the end of the day, man, we need to try harder. We do. We need to try harder at being a friend. So I say this as I open this up, talking about the church and a body. That's what this is all about. It's about true friendship. I have one spouse, one wife that I made a covenant commitment for the rest of my days. I got my own kids, right? I got my kids. I got my family in that regards. But this is the extended family. And I will argue, as scripture will say, friendships in some ways can be closer to your friends than you are ever to your family. Because many of you in your family, you're nothing alike. Right? You were born into that family. You have the same DNA, but you are nothing alike in terms of your brother or your sister, right? I mean, why do you think there's so many clashes? Because you're totally different. But your friends are different because your friendships, you're somewhat similar or there wouldn't be a friendship. There's commonalities that make it close. So friendship is incredibly important. And I would argue with you as we look at this, you could look at this and be like, man, this is a light. This is an easy sermon. I would argue, no, it's not. Are you a good friend? Is there areas that you need to grow to be a better friend? The people that you are close to, could you improve in your friendship? Is there some unhealthiness to your friendships? That there's change that God wants to do in your spirit, and it's going to take just really thinking through what does it mean to be a godly friend? So Proverbs talks a lot about friendship. And so we're going to kind of do this. That's not like chapter 4 where I just went through like 13 verses. We're going to be jumping around looking at friendship through the book of Proverbs. There's so much more that could be added. But I would say this, before I start this sermon, I want to say this. I challenge you this week, if you don't have a Bible study or you're like, I don't even know where to begin with God's word, I must challenge you to read the Gospels and think through the lens in regard to Jesus as to his friendship. Have you ever thought about his love and his friendship towards these disciples? Have you ever thought about it from that lens? Like, look at the love of our God and our Father who's walking with these, I don't know a better word than buffoons for a period of time, and he loves them. And there's genuine intimacy, there's genuine friendship, and even in among the disciples, there's a closer net of three of them that are closer than the others. There's even in that a deeper fellowship. And so I ask you, think about that. Look at Jesus' life and his investment in the disciples. And you see some intimacy. You see some friendship. You see some personalness to our own God. And that should encourage us to be better friends. With that said, let's get going. So here's a song that you all know. You've got a friend in me, right? You remember that song? You've got a friend in me. What movie is that? Toy Story. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough, I'm not going to sing the rest of this. Let's talk about friendship. I already wasted 5 minutes. I'm going to get started. All right, here's the opening point. A godly friend's love can be closer than family. Let's look at this. Proverbs 18:24, a simple verse you've probably all heard a million times. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a what? Brother. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What is Proverbs saying? Proverbs is talking about friendship can be better than even family. It can. Now you may, listen, some of you may think, the more social you are, I don't know whether you're introverted or extroverted. I am very, very extroverted. So what happens to an extrovert, I'll tell you this, you have lots of people that you're friends with, but then it's really hard to have a really good friend because you're really extroverted. So you have a lot of relationship, but you're so, little deposit, you can't ever get like really deep. And introverts, I've found in my time, introverts are really good at friendships, but they're kind of like one or two really good friends. I don't need anybody else, right? I don't have time or energy, and it's hard for me to be social anyway. So there's a healthiness to both. And I don't know whether you're extrovert, introvert. I've just learned this. This is from youth, evaluating youth, looking at adults. We need good friends. And what scripture talks about, friends are rare. You're going to see this throughout the book of Proverbs. Friendships aren't, they're rare. You don't come across it every day. That's why friendships, it's like a marriage. If you have a good friend, it's worth fighting for. It's worth keeping because they don't grow on trees, right? They don't just come around. Now, you're more likely to find some good friendships in church because we have the commonality of Jesus in the Bible, right? It's a great place to find friends because you're going to be around people that already love God and have the premise God, who's teaching us how to be like God. Amen? But what I want to say is you can't have 15 friends. You likely can't have really deep friendships with a massive amount of people. And so in Proverbs, he begins with a man of many, right? Many companions, you know, comes to ruin. You can't be friends with 30 people, best friends, right? And how wise is it to have 30 people that know every single thing about your life? Amen? Let's be honest. Because what happens when that person gets upset at you and that person's character is, are you both honest in that relationship? Are you both deep to where you're getting both going deep? So what I want to say to you is friendships is rare, and a good godly friend sticks closer than a brother. So I don't know about your friendships. I would say this. Some of us walk in this room, and if you were honest, you would say, I don't have one friend. I've got a lot of friends, but I don't have one friend. I don't have one person in my life that I can share my heart with, my failures, my fears, my insecurities. Some of us, we don't have any friends. We don't have one great friend. And I challenge you, this is what the hardest part of any church is. You need to plug in. There's some amazing people at this church that would love to do everything from mentor to disciple to befriend. Like, that is the church. The church should be friendly and befriending of people. Amen? It doesn't mean every single person's going to be your best friend. Some personalities will never be best friends. Like, they don't fit, right? But you should have some friends. And you should be able to, and here's the thing, some of us don't have friends because we've not plugged in. Some of us don't have friends because we don't want to go deep. We've got hurt. Somebody hurt us. I had a friend one day, and they did this, so I'm never opening up to anybody else. As we preached on last week, right, you have a wounded heart, and what did C.S. Lewis said? Your heart gets worse. You've been wounded, and now you're going to start becoming altogether different, and your heart is changing, and now you don't open up to anybody. Amen? That's not healthy. That's not healthy. That's not the body of Christ. That's not what God envisions for your life. So I challenge you today in the opening statement, we can't have 30 friends, and you shouldn't. It would not be wise to share everything about your life with 30 people, but there should be a few. You should be actively wanting some people in your life to the depths that you could talk about things. That's what God's plan is for your life, for you to have that kind of love, that kind of friendship, that kind of connection with somebody that's utterly different, I'll be honest, than your romantic love with your spouse. Friendship, spouse, is different. And friendship is just as valuable in a lot of ways emotionally than your spouse. Amen? So I challenge you as we begin this sermon, what he's talking about, what Proverbs is talking about, it's really rare to have good friends. But you do need good friends. And you need to deal with some demons in your life that keep you from them, or you need to start pursuing relationships and trying to get to the place that you will have good friends that are godly. As you see the theme of my sermon, godly friends is this. Godly friendship is this. You need godly friends. Amen? So I challenge you to think through that a little bit. But one of the things I want to say is this too. Our earliest years of friendships is totally different. So my son is in formidable years right now. Like, there's no question, me and my wife are shaping him, right? There's other people shaping him too, but for sure, our family, our life, you know, we're shaping my son. What begins to happen though is as you get older, what becomes the largest influence in your life? It actually begins to be friends. And that starts, you see it in teenage years, you start seeing it in high school, and throughout the rest of your life, your friends are probably the largest influence on you. Does that make sense? Friends can come into your life and help you, or they can come in and make you a lot worse, right? If I got the same problem that you got, and we keep talking about it, you may get worse. And so what I want to say is friendships are rare, but friendships can be great, and friendships can be bad. And so I don't want you to focus on your friend, focus on you. What kind of friend are you being? Because you are the largest influence in a lot of people's lives. If you have a friend and you are a good friend to that person, know that you are influencing them. Does that make sense? So there's a bit of responsibility in friendship, and I think in our culture we've missed this. We think, of course, my spouse, my family, that's a responsibility, but in a friendship, there's not responsibility. Yes, there is. There is a responsibility if you're a godly person that I want to be a good friend, which means I want to be a good influencer in their lives. Amen? So as we talk about godly friends, there has to be a responsibility on your part as a friend, or else you're not going to be a godly friend. Amen? So the largest influence in your life as an adult is likely your friends. So friendship matters. So my question, my opening conversation with you is this. How many of your friendships have shaped you and influenced you in your life? Why are you who you are? How are you? Has there been people in your life that have made you who you are, that have helped you be who you are? Have you let somebody in that's had that kind of influence on you? And who is your best friends? And how have they influenced you? And so some of us, we don't have people influence us. We haven't let anybody in. Some of us, we have a lot of people. Like, these are my best friends. They love me. And so today, as we begin, are you a good friend? Could you be honest with your own soul? Am I a good friend? Am I investing well in people? I would love for us to walk away from the sermon. If nothing else is said, we walk away saying, you know what? I need to be a better friend and have some people that come to your mind. I really need to be a better friend to this person. I really want to love this person better. I want to be better at the kind of, there's so much potential in this relationship and I want more. Amen? So I ask you to think about that as we begin. So now we're going to get more specific on some marks of godly friendship. A godly friend's love and care is consistent. And we see this through Proverbs. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born from adversity. Look at that. Some of the most challenging things in your life, adversity, creates brotherhood. How many of us, let's be honest, someone passes away and our friend steps in and our friends love us well during that time. Doesn't that mean a lot to you? Right? Or you had some challenges, whether it be finances or things going on in life, and someone's there for you in the midst of what's going on. Doesn't that mean, speak way more volumes than the conversation that was interesting 3 weeks ago? Like, in that adversity, their love meant more than anything. Amen? So that's what this is pointing towards in this text. It's pointing out that friendship through adversity, a friend loves at all times. And in that despair, the friendship grows all the more. Because now you know who really cares. True? So it keeps going. Proverbs 19:6-7 says this. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. This is just a wise statement. If you're generous, people tend to like you, right? So it's a wise statement. It's true. And it keeps going. All the poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with many words, but does not have them. And so what this is talking about is, and I'm going to say this in a second, in some regards, friendship is transactional. And I know that sounds weird, but Proverbs' point is to talk about wisdom. In some regards, all of us are in people's lives because we're getting something out of it, right? You go to work because of economic reasons. You have some friendships. I've seen this at churches. At my last church, I saw this more than anywhere. It was a mega church, and we had Drayton McLean. Who knows who Drayton McLean is? Former owner of the Astros, sold too quickly because they just won, right? He was really wealthy, and one of the things I saw is, this is the first time I had ever seen it at church. Sometimes people go to church because of who their boss is. And if I'm at church, this person sees me as godly, and I'm going to rise up in the ranks. So church can become a social thing. I had not ever seen that in my life. I had never seen literally people coming to church for their career purposes. But I saw it at my last church. I saw the whole thing play out. I saw charters that said, if you're going to be a deacon, you have to have been here a year. And Drake McLean was a deacon within a month. What? Right? It can become this social thing. It could become transactional. Friendship, and it'd be unwise to sit here and say that there's none of that. There's no truth to that. There is an element of that. Why would you continue to have a relationship and you're not getting anything out of it? That's called ministry. And it's just, I'm just ministering at all, and I'm getting nothing out of it. Friendship can't be that way. There has to be some transaction, something that I'm investing, but I'm not just investing to invest. I'm investing because I get something out of it too. It could be emotionally, it could be whatever. And he's pointing this out, and as a wise person, he's saying, listen, if you are generous, you're likely to have what? Friends. Because people like generous people. Amen? So it's a wise principle, and he's pointing out the truth. Sometimes a poor person goes through issues and you realize, I have no friends. No one really ever cared. And the point of that is to speak wisdom into your life, that who is your good friend? If you went through the adversity, if you went through the worst of times, who would stick with you? You know they would. That's a real friend. Amen? Because friendship in some ways is transactional, but it's when you're going through the adversity, you realize how much with those people, it was all transaction. It was not really about me. It was never real love. It was something else. And so when I go through the adversity, I learn who really cares about me, who really values me, who loves me. You learn it in the adversity because there's an element of transactional relationship, and a godly friendship is not about that. It may start off that way, but at some point, that's not the point of the relationship. Amen? So Proverbs just is brutally honest. That's why this is a really hard book to preach on. It's just brutally honest. And there's some things that it's saying, hey, you want good friends, be a generous person. Proverbs 26, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. And the point of that verse is to say, man, it's rare. It's rare to find a faithful, godly friend. So when you have it, you should value it like nothing else because it's rare. And so I want to say a couple things to you. A true friend loves at all times, through the good and the bad. In many regards, relationships are transactional, yes, but at the end of the day, friends, it's different. And so I challenge you with this. We live in a society, we're so busy. I mean, how many of you, if you were honest right now in this room, I'm so busy, I don't know how to be a good friend. Some of us, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm simply saying we're so busy sometimes. And right, we've kind of reverted as a society into text message, like, right? I'm going to be a good friend just by sending a text message, which you can't be a good friend via text message, right? There's something about being in front of a person. There's something about looking a person in their eyes. There's something about actual dialogue that can't happen in a 5 seconds. I only got 5 minutes. Hey, how are you? Like, that's not much care. It's not much concern, right? So I know I just did this weird thing, got down here, but here, look, I'm on this side now. The point is we've gotten to a point that we're so busy, and that's why you can't have friendships with 30 people. You just can't. It's impossible. I see it as a pastor that when I come in, I want to personally touch every person in this room, and I can't tell you how many times people get offended because you didn't shake their hand. But I try to, like, I'm here on this side. I try to portion out who I get to talk with each week and not favor anybody, but then you get stuck and you don't know what people are thinking. It's impossible to love this many people. Impossible. Amen? To personally touch, personally spend time with. And it's the same in friendship. You can't be best friends with 30 people. Amen? So rather than trying to be something that you can't be, make sure that the friends you do have, you really invest well with. Right? You really invest. really pour into. Because it matters. It's really important. And that means in their adversity, listen, I may be busy, but I got to love my friends enough to drop everything. Would you drop things to love your friends well? Would you? Okay, this is important, but you know what? This that's going on in my friend's heart is way more important. I'm dropping it. And I'm moving. I'm going to love them. Amen? A godly friend, if you are a godly friend, there's love, there is care, and it's consistent. And in adversity, you really show how godly you are as a friend, how good of a friend you are. So I challenge you. We don't know. Man, we sit in this room. I don't know what you're about to go through. I can tell you this. I've been around life long enough. Something's coming. It's coming for all of us. Right? Well, you know that it can come for you too. Don't you want people to love you well in your adversity? So who should you be as a friend? There's a part of life that you get back what you give. And that's part of that wise parable. He's saying people that are generous tend to have really great friends. Why? Because you've loved them. You get back what you give. So shouldn't we now commit, man, those people I really care about, I'm going to be invested. I'm all in. Their heart's breaking, I'm there. Amen? That's godly friendship. Godly friendship is consistent. Friends should not be a means to some other end, but should be cherished for the friendship itself. Let's move on to a question. So here's a question you could ask yourself. How can you be more intentional about deepening the friendships you have? Could you give more time and effort to growing your friendship? Prayerfully ask God to help you be a better friend. Would you do that? Would you on your own say, God, I want to be a better friend? If all of us in this room, if we committed to being better friends, you can't touch 30 people, you can't touch everybody. But man, if we gave our hearts to some, that's what makes the church thrive. It's friendship, it's love, it's being in people's lives. Amen? And that's why you have to plug in. Second thing, a godly friend is transparent. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the words of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Godly friends do rebuke each other. Timothy Keller says this, if you are too afraid to say what needs to be said, you are really an enemy of your friend's soul. How many of you, if you're honest, the friendships you do have, you do know their worst qualities, and you've never said a word? You tolerate them, you love them, despite their flaws, but you never say anything that's truthful, that really changes them. That is fake friendship. Let me be honest. You don't love people well if I can never tell you the truth. And if you get so offended because someone speaks the truth into you, then you didn't want that relationship. A loving relationship, a godly relationship. A good, godly friendship is transparent. How would your marriage work out if there's not honesty? How does that work out? It doesn't work. Amen? So why would a friendship be different? You can't speak truth? Because I would argue this, friendship is one of the greatest things you can have because I can speak the truth to this person. Let me tell you, when you don't have good friends, or you do like the 30 people, you're guarded. Amen? You're guarded in some regards, but the closer you get to godly friends, you don't have to be guarded. You can just be honest. You can just be transparent. And that's what we need. We need people to be able to speak truth into our lives in love. Now, how you go about saying it, that matters. But at the end of the day, if you say nothing, you don't actually love them. Your friendship should be producing in you to helping you to be a better person. Amen? That's godly friendship. Godly friendship doesn't see the train wreck and the sin and the issues and say nothing. That's not godly friendship. That's a person that will say what you want them to say. Right? That's not godly. That's not what God's vision is for us as God's people. So I challenge you in your lives, another thing, Proverbs says this in Proverbs 29:5. I have it on the back page. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Beware of people who flatter you. I can't tell you how much I see this with people that the worst parts of their life, the right person, a manipulator, knows how to stroke it. Knows how to stroke this thing about your life. So if you are incredibly prideful and incredibly talented, and a person comes up, let me tell you how talented you are. Sometimes people come and have that conversation. They want something from you. And they know how to stroke that part of you. And that actually may be your biggest flaw. What their flattery is actually possibly the biggest flaw in your life. But they know how to flatter you. And he says, Proverbs says, beware of someone who's overly flattery. Promise things they have no intentions of keeping. Right? It's all transactional. It's not godly friendship. They want something, and for this period of time, I'm going to flatter you. Make you feel like, yeah, I'm going to. It could be some of the worst things in your life. And this is the person that comes in, and you think, this person really loves me. No, this person is helping you stay where you are, and they want to use you. Amen? And so I don't know about you. Guys, I've been around. Really, this church experience for me has been there's lots of manipulators. I've seen so many times. I have not once come across people who are claiming to be victims and keep a victim mentality when they're actually victimizing. Like, that's the common thing I keep seeing. A theme of a manipulator is you're always claiming to be a victim. And it's like, why? Why are you not actually a victim? Like, why? What is this? And it's manipulative, and people get, they stroke egos. Guys, relationships should be able to be transparent and honest. And guess what? Some of the things I may have to say, you may not want to hear. I preach. That's what I do for a living. Some things you may say, I may not want to hear. In my relationship, if I have a godly friendship, I'm not offended by you caring about my heart. Because you should be, you're thinking, if you're a godly friend, you're thinking about my family. Ben, you should change this because I'm thinking about your family. If you don't change this, this may affect your entire life. I love you enough, even if you were to walk out of here, I love you too much not to say this. Amen? How many of us, we get into some godly friendships, right? My marriage is struggling, and like, yeah, you should leave them. No, that's not godly friendship. Godly friendship says, you need counseling. I think y'all need help. I want to, this marriage, this is worth fighting for. That's godly friendship, not the, you're upset. Yeah, let me enrage more in you the upsetness. And I want to say this, you've got to be at a place with godly friendships that you can speak the truth. And that means sometimes you got to be the one that speaks the truth and risk the relationship, because what do you care more about? Their actual soul. Amen? And that's the kind of friends you need. You don't need flattery. You don't need someone to stroke your ego. You don't need someone to agree with the worst parts of you. You need a person that will tell you the truth, humbly, loving you, and walk with you through it. Like, there's no point in saying something negative and being like, okay, deal with it. That's not what friends do. Like, here's the truth, but I love you. Let's move forward. Let's fix this. Let's change this. Let me keep encouraging for the next months. Are you doing okay? How are you doing? Are you changing? Is there actual change happening? I'm praying for you. And I'm not just saying I'm praying for you. I actually am praying for you. You're on my prayer list. Amen? That's transparency. That's godly friendship. It's consistent, but it's not consistent fake. It's consistent. I'm investing in this relationship, and I'm going to stay invested. But by investing, I actually care about you to be better, because that's what I'm in this relationship for. I love you, and I want to see you flourish. Amen? That is godly friendship. How many of us, when someone starts speaking truths and they start talking about something that you know, man, you know that that is an area, how many of us get so defensive? And that's why you don't have close friendships, because nobody can speak to you. Nobody can speak truth. And when they start speaking truth, you're done. You're out. It's called an idol. And sometimes in friendships, if your friend can't speak truth to you, if your spouse can't speak truth to you, who can? Nobody can. And it's all a charade. It's fake. It's not true. It's not godly. Godly friendship is transparent. You're able to speak truth. You're able to talk about stuff that's divisive, right? Yes, we got a country right now that nobody can speak on anything. It's crazy. If you have a good friendship, you ought to be able to talk. What did I just say? I said in the very beginning of the sermon, your friends shape you the most. We should be able to talk about politics and be friends. That should be able to happen in here. In fact, me talking to my friends, we should be able to dialogue about something, and I should be able to hone in, even if I believe something and we disagree, I should be able to hone in more on what I believe because of that friendship that I can have an honest conversation with that I can't have with everybody else, right? Because friendship, you're shaping. Even if I disagree, it's okay. I'm not leaving the relationship because we disagree about, I could care less about politics than me loving you. Friendship, it's not about politics. It's not about other things. It's about you. It's about the relationship we have. Amen? But if you can't have even dialogue about politics, if you can't have dialogue about God or about, you know, all sorts of issues that are going on, man, you ain't got no friends. And your friends aren't really committed because you can't even have any kind of honesty in any kind of conversation. So folks, I challenge you, do you have the kind of people that you can just talk freely with, you can dialogue with, you can be transparent, they're shaping you, you can talk about the hardest, difficult things, and you know, you're just talking and disagreeing and moving on. Amen? So friendship is transparent as well. So I challenge you to think about that. How many real friends do you have? Friends who can and will speak the truth to you in love. It is only your perspective what matters. Do you ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern through transparent conversations that might be painful to hear? And I want to challenge you with this. Is there a friend that you need to say something to? Maybe you've ignored it for a year. You've ignored it for multiple years. You see it. You know what it is. Are you willing to have that conversation that you've maybe felt convicted that you need to have, but you haven't because you're afraid of what would happen if I told them the truth? That's not godly friendship. So would you risk a relationship to be honest? Amen? I challenge you. The relationships that you have shouldn't be a therapist, right? You shouldn't be in a relationship where a person is literally telling you this is what you should do. That's not godly. A godly friendship is you're dialoguing back and forth mutually. Amen? That's not what a relationship is. Not a therapist. It should be, you're not fixing people. That's not friendship. That's the job of a therapist. Friendship is mutual dialogue, dialoguing, being honest and transparent. And if someone can't speak into your life, you're not a good friend. You should be able to hear truth and move forward as a family. Family, it's messy. Relationships are messy. But you're going to get the best relationships when you have this kind of godly friendships. Amen? So many struggles would be changed if we had good friends talking truth. A godly friend is sensitive with tact. Sensitive with tact, discretion. Proverbs 25:20 says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is one who takes off a garment of a cold day and like vinegar on soda. Proverbs 27:14, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, raises early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Friends' hearts are tied to one another. When your friend hurts, your heart should hurt. And I want to say this, relationships, godly friendships, you enter in willingly. You enter in willingly knowing how in the world, this is why people don't have great friends, is because friendships are messy, relationships are messy, churches are messy, because anytime you have a relationship, you're dealing with sinful people. Amen? It's true. So what happens is friendships hurt you. I love my son, I love my daughter. At the end of the day, they're the greatest blessing and the greatest hurt I'll ever have in my life. And many of you know this. The greatest joy in the world, the greatest hurt you'll ever have. Every time that boy hurts himself, I'm torn up in my heart, right? As I think about his life and, oh man, we don't want to mess this up. Any mistake he makes, I'm going to think, did I not raise him right? Did I not do something right? We're going to have those thoughts for the rest of my life. Because it's the greatest relationship, and it's tied to that great relationship is the greatest joy, the greatest fall. Friendship is that way. The more you pour into someone, you love them, is the potential of great hurt. It's also the potential for something amazing, something godly. Maybe the greatest influence in your life that will change you for the good. But unfortunately, relationships mean you can get hurt. Amen? But that is what godly friendship is. You don't fear that, but at the same time, when your friend is hurting, you hurt. You're sensitive. What kind of friend, when someone's hurting, you're like, I'm excited in your joy? You know, there are relationships that are so transactional that when someone is happy and things are going well for them, the other person, the other party, is not excited. The better you are is the worse I feel, because I have what in my heart? Jealousy and envy. Amen? That's why I don't celebrate with your success, because I have other things in my heart that keep me from being that way, and it's shown my friendship has not been really, I want to rejoice in your rejoicing. But the relationship shows itself that that's not the case. It was envy and conceit. True? Good, godly friendship is sensitive. You're sensitive. You're tied so closely to somebody else's heart. When they're hurting, you can't help their heart hurt. And you don't avoid relationships because, again, the greatest joys, the greatest pitfalls. Amen? That's what a relationship and a friendship is. So how do we have tact and discretion and discernment about conversations, but at the same time being sensitive? We have to be sensitive. Godly friendship is sensitive to your what's going on in your friend's life. When they're moved, it moves you. For the joys, for the highs, for the lows, you are part of that family. So everything they go through, you're part of. That's godly friendship. So I would say this, I mean, this is one of those, this is common sense, but it's not common sense. If you've not invested well in people's lives, you're not going to care what's going on in their life. So I would say to you, how good of a friend are you? Do you hurt when other people hurt? When they're going through tragedies or good things, is there rejoicing going on? Is there sadness going on? Because the more you're tied to someone else's heart, that is godly friendship. And a godly friend is careful and sensitive to the other person. Amen? That's what friendship and godly friendship is. That's just truth. So another final thing before we get into a conclusion here. A godly friend gives good counsel. A godly friend gives good counsel. This is the theme verse for almost every men's ministry. So it says Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Godly friendships sharpen and challenge one another to continually grow in many areas of life. So what is the purpose of friendship? The purpose of friendship is to help a person grow. Turn to Hebrews with me. I'm off the cuff here. Go to Hebrews 10. It won't be behind me. This is one of my favorite verses about friendship and what friendship should be. Chapter 10, just 24 through 25. My favorite passage in Scripture about friendship for me is this passage. Verse 24 says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That what's funny about this text is verse 25 is the habitual verse used to say, hey, church, come and gather, but we miss 24, and 24 is the purpose of this. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another. To do what? To love. To do what? Good works. Consider. What does consider mean? Consider means take time and ponder how to do what? To help one another grow in love and doing what? Good works. What is the purpose of church? What is the purpose of friendship? What does God want you to do to others? What does God want to use you to do? He wants you to influence people's lives in such a way that they are being better at what? Love. And they're doing what? Walking with God and being more like God. Now that takes transparency. Do you get what that means? If I'm stirring up my brother and I see something in their life, I see an area of their life that they're struggling, or I see sin in their life, what does a person who's considering how to do this right do? They have transparent conversation because of what? I love you. Like, that's my job as a friend. That's my job as a pastor. That's our job as a church. I see an area of life and I love you enough and I'm considering how to help you grow. And I see this area, God has shown it to me. The Holy Spirit has shown it to me. And I love you enough to have that conversation. Amen? Because what am I trying to do? I want you to be better. I want to spur you and stir you on to be better for life, for your family, for those around you. Because I want to see your life flourish for God's kingdom so that one day when we're in heaven singing and sharing testimony about what God used us for, right? You changed and you were better. And my relationship, my time with you spurred you on and helped you to be better. And that's what my hope is as a friend. That's my hope. I mean, why am I in ministry if I don't believe in that? Amen? So folks, how do you consider, do you stir up your friends to be better? Do you challenge them? Do you encourage them to walk with God better, to love better? That is what our role is in regards to friendship. That is actually the purpose of why we enter into relationship, is to stir folks on, to consider how to do that. Now, how many of us, listen, again, it goes back to, we're so busy. We're so busy, we have no time for anything. This verse says, consider, plan, pray about it, have the conversation, do it. But some of us, we're so busy, we can't drop those investments, but we need to. That's what godly friendship is. It's giving good counsel. It's having conversation. It's spurring on. It's pointing out truth. It's changing, being willing to change. That's what godly friendship is. And so I challenge you with that. Friendship should not be like a therapist relationship, as I've said, as a client, a supervisor. True friendship is of mutual respect and voice. So as we end, I want to leave you this last verse. Proverbs 27:9 says this, "Oil and perfume makes the heart glad. The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." A godly friend can be a great joy. I began the sermon with saying a friendship can be closer than a brother, and I end with saying friendship is sweet. The actual literal word there is saying friendship is sweet. Now listen, some of us, we don't have good friendships. They're all transactional. There's no commitment. There's no speaking truth to us. Some of us, we don't have good friends because honestly, we wouldn't have good friendships because we don't want friendship. We don't want someone to speak truth in us. We don't want someone to talk into our lives and improve us. We're so defensive. We're so walled up. We don't want anybody in. Those areas are things you have to change so that you can actually have good friends. Some of us, we're not investing. We're not taking the time to get to know people. We're not making the time to get to really in depth in people's lives. So we don't have good friendships because we don't take any time to be investing in people's lives. You're not going to have good friendships if you don't invest the time to have those relationships. Amen? So it's kind of this back and forth, but I can tell you this in life. It's just a simple principle. You get out what you give. So if you're like, I have no friends, there's some things you need to change. If you're like, I have great friends, right now I would say, hey man, Proverbs would say they're rare. So if you have good friends, man, make all the more the investment. Make it a priority of yours to be a good friend. Amen? But some of us in this room have unhealthy friendships. Be godly in your friendships. Your job as a friend, biblically speaking, godly speaking, is to stir on, to consider how to stir up another person to follow with God more faithfully and to love better. That's your job. Amen? Your friendships is a thing. Just like I'm going to stand for God, accountable for being a head pastor, for my wife, for my kids. My friendships, I do feel like there's a role that I need to play in their life. There's a calling to this. There's a purpose to it. And I feel like I'm going to, you know, God's going to reward me for what kind of friend am I? Amen? So I challenge you as you leave from here, friendship is sweet. Friendship can be the greatest joy, one of the greatest joys in your life. But man, we got to work towards being good friends. And we got to work towards being godly in our friendships. So with that said, the band will come on up and we'll end in a time of preaching. Again, some of us, man, some of us are lonely and we don't have great relationships. I challenge you, we have community groups, we have Sunday school, we have a men's ministry, we have a woman's ministry. There is a million opportunities to connect with people in our church. And if you're like, I don't know anybody, well, have you tried? Are you connecting? Are you trying to give some of your heart so that you can have the kind of relationships God wants you to have in your life? That's what a body is. Let me pray and we'll go into a time of preaching. There will be some people up here praying for you if you would like to come up and pray, and I'll be up here as well. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs, the challenging book. God, I pray that each of us would evaluate our hearts as to what kind of friends we're being. Are we being good, godly friends? Do we have the kind of relationships, God, that truly are stirring on and spurring on our brethren and our sisters to just move forward? Lord, in their faith and their faithfulness to you. God, I pray that as we leave from here, that we wouldn't just take these things that we've talked about and leave them here because we just went to church for an hour, but rather, God, this would actually shape how our friendships are, that this church would be a bunch of people that have great friendships and love well because we're being faithful to you, Lord. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.